It's the Internet Advisor, hour number two, and that means your hour at 800-859-0957. And we're loaded for bear here. We've got our Mac expert, Mr. Kel Carson, in studio with us. And we've also got our PC experts, that's Ed Riddell and Gary Baker, who's the original Internet Advisor. And then I just kind of fumble along, and I provide kind of the fodder for the humor here at the station by screwing up computers.
Yeah, and when you opened up that iced tea last hour.
Did you have to say that?
Yes. Oh, that was awesome.
And it's Miller time.
It was iced tea.
Oh, dear. Iced tea, folks. Only iced tea in the background. All right, let's head out to our first caller. I think we have Wynn waiting for us in Bluefield. Hello, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How you doing? What can we do for you?
Yes, I use Windows Vista, and I've been getting messages from Google because I have Chrome.
Yes.
And they're telling me they're not going to update or support it anymore.
Yes.
After April. Plus, I have Microsoft for my virus protection.
Yes, okay.
And that's going to end April 17th as well. So what I need to know is, what should I do? I don't want to lose my emails on Gmail and everything else and my virus protection.
Okay, so I presume you're asking then, how do I upgrade to a new operating system, right?
So that's what they're recommending, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because Vista that you're on, the support for that ended, as a matter of fact, I think a while back. Does anybody remember the date on that? It was a while back.
I don't think so. I think it's still supported.
Oh, is it still going?
Oh, yeah, it's still Vista is still good to like 2019 or something like
I beg your pardon. It's XP that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Which is
actually, Vista was never good, so.
Yeah, but apparently our listener has been using it this time pretty reliably.
Yep.
I was going to switch to the 10, and I was told that it doesn't pay until they stop supporting Vista.
Yeah, so it looks like it's April 11, 2017, so you have just over a year. So you have a year to, think about getting another computer, because more than likely the hardware platform that you're on right now will not work that well with like Windows 8 or Windows 10. I think you'll like Windows 10. It's very...
Well, last year I had a virus, and it was I had upgraded the memory, so I've got like 2.5 gigs in it now.
Okay.
And so it's a lot faster, and there's nothing wrong with my computer. I'd like to keep it.
Well,
what to know what I should do.
Well, one of the things you can do, try this. You can actually go to Microsoft's website and download Windows 10 for free for 30 days. And you can install it, even though you're not eligible for the free upgrade running because you're running Vista. You're eligible to install it for 30 days free and then uninstall it if you don't like how Windows 10 performs on your computer. Then you can make your decision. Microsoft provides the ability for you to download Windows 10 and then they have a USB installation creator tool that you could put it on a 4 gigabyte flash drive or even a CD if you wanted to. And
so what you're saying, I'm going to have to upgrade to 10.
Yes, probably. Well, you might be able to go to Windows 7. You know, are they still providing Windows 7? I don't think so. They're only providing Windows 7 to enterprises.
We'll go to 7, but that's probably good for another 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, but I don't think you as a consumer can go to Windows 7. I think that's only for enterprises.
Could he buy a license on eBay?
When I had my virus, he told me he could install 7 on it.
Oh, yes. There's some stores that you go to, they have the ability to do that. I'm sorry, Cal, what did you say?
Could he buy a license for Windows 7 off eBay or something like that?
Well, it sounds like an OEM or maybe a small mom-and-pop shop can install it for him.
I'd be a little concerned about what you're getting when you do that.
What happens to my Gmail?
Well, Gmail's all web-based.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. It's all stored on the Google Gmail cloud.
And I'm using Microsoft for my virus protection.
And the same would be true if you ran Windows 7.
And just for your information, Wynn, what happens is when you move up to Windows 10, for instance, it's built into it. It's called Windows Defender now. And it's not an external program. It's built right into the software.
Yeah,
I have that with Vista because it's automatically in there.
Yes, it
was.
Yeah,
Defender was in Vista, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's also included in Windows 10 and Windows 8, you know, for the most part, and Windows 7. But a lot of times when you purchased it from a big box store, or Dell or whoever, what they do is they're paid to actually install someone else's software on there, and they uninstall Microsoft's and install AVG or McAfee or Norton Antivirus. They're actually paid.
Mine came with Windows.
I understand that. What I was saying is that antivirus from Microsoft was provided since Vista with every version of Windows. It's only that when you, you know, some manufacturers actually remove it, and they're paid by someone else to put a different antivirus on there.
When what we might suggest is, as Ed has said, is that you can go and download a, if you will, a trial version of Windows 10 and put it on your computer to see if you like it. All right.
What about going to Mozilla or Foxfire or something like that?
Well, no, those are browsers. That's a completely different thing, okay?
Well, that's what Google is telling me. Chrome is telling me to do that. I need a new browser.
So Google, yeah, so you can actually download Google Chrome for Vista, and you can access...
I used to have Microsoft Internet, and when I got the virus, he told me never to use Internet. Mm-hmm. He said, always use Chrome.
Okay, correct.
As a browser. And then when we're also telling you, yes, you can download Firefox, for instance, as another alternative. And we suggest for people that what they do is to have two browsers at one time. So, yes, you can download that right now, regardless of where you're going to be going after this. You can get a good, clean copy of that. Okay, Wynn, thanks so much for calling. And by the way, for Wynn and for anybody else, if you've got more questions, you can simply go to internetadvisor.net after the show is over, and you can send us an email through our contact button there, or at the very bottom of the form there's a comment box, and you can enter your question or comment in there, and it'll get to us just as directly. And during the week we work hard on getting those things answered. The number is 800-859-0957. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. Thank you so much for joining us. Eric Dorsch, thank you. Our engineer and Logan Stanifer is the pleasant voice that answers the phone. Thank you for being here with us at 800-859-0957. Let's head back out to Janet in White Lake. Janet, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you today?
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about upgrading to Microsoft Windows 10 from 8.1.
Yes.
I tried that a few months ago, and then I got locked out. It said user profile service failed. The sign-in. User profile cannot be loaded. So I was able to get into recovery and get back to 8.1.
Good.
Excellent. Yeah.
Good, good.
After I talked to somebody from Microsoft.
Okay.
Now, my question is, how can I test the integrity of my user accounts in case I want to get back into 10 again?
Well,
I don't want the same problem.
Well, and I think you do want to get to 10 as soon as you can reasonably do that. So what can we recommend for her?
Well, the first question is, what type of user account do you have on Windows 8? My son had a problem in which the first time he set up a user account on there, he did not tie it to his Microsoft account. So is your user account, when you log into Windows 8, based on your Microsoft Windows user account?
Well, I have a Microsoft Outlook.
Yep.
Is that it?
I believe it is, yes. So
I did have that, and I tried that, and it still wouldn't let me get in.
Well, yeah, but every time you log onto your computer, it challenges you for a username and password. Is the username that's on the screen the same as your email address for Microsoft?
No, it isn't.
Okay, that might be part of the problem, and I've heard of issues with this. And the other possibility is and I'm trying to remember the details on this, there's been a number of computers out there that have problems because of video drivers. And because your computer actually fails to install a video driver, for some reason, it not only affects the installation, but your account becomes corrupted.
Oh.
Which sounds like one of the problems you've been experiencing. So how long has it been since you've tried the update?
Well, it was, I think it was in October.
So it was quite a while ago. So that was when it was first rolled out.
Yes.
You know, what I would recommend is, and when you performed the update, you let Microsoft probably push that to you. And I let Microsoft do that as well. But then on subsequent times on my other home computers, I went to Microsoft's Windows 10 website and I actually downloaded the entire Microsoft Creation Tool. And when I downloaded, it was only a couple meg. And when I ran a couple gig, I should say. No, let me take that. A couple meg, I was right the first time. And when I downloaded it, it says, what version of Windows do you have right now? And I went in my Windows 8 and looked. And it stepped me through the process, and it allowed me to download a version of Windows 10, and then it created a USB flash drive for me. So I had to have a 4 gigabyte flash drive. But basically, it allowed me to, which are only $5 if you go to the right store.
Okay.
On the drugstores now.
Well, a 4 gigabyte or a 8 gigabyte. They're so cheap now. Yeah. The minimum size you need, I think, is 4 gigabyte.
Right.
And you can get those at Staples for under $10.
Right.
And Micro Center, so, you know, they use them as, you know, they throw them at you as you leave the store. Here, take your free 4, you know, I'm just kidding. And what I did is I created a 4 gigabyte, and then I booted my computer up with that flash drive on my wife's computer and my son's computer. The installations went so much smoother on their computers than mine.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll try then.
Yeah. Okay.
Try
that.
Thank you very much.
Take a crack at that and let us know how it goes for you, okay?
And if you have difficulty finding that, you can go to the Internet Advisor's website, and in the comments section, you can send us an email, and I'll send you the link to that, because I know I have at least 5 emails from other listeners where I sent them Microsoft's detailed instructions on how to create that tool.
Okay.
Okay. It seems to be a problem from what I'm hearing.
There have been problems. But the nice thing about that is what Ed's experienced here is a solution, and that's the best part of it. Jeanette, thanks so much for giving us a call. All right. Good luck to you as you do that. And let's say hello to Jill, who is calling us from Macomb. Jill, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Since you're talking about Macs and PCs today, this is a perfect time for my question.
Okay.
I've been a Mac user for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually longer, but my current Mac is 5 years old, and I'm starting to have vision issues with the font size and stuff, especially across, like, the Safari homepage and everything.
Okay.
I'm considering going to Windows, Microsoft Windows, and back to the other computer, because I think that can be adjusted more for people that have vision problems. Comments?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you for stopping there, because, Cal, let's talk about that first issue with the Apple computer.
Is it possible that you haven't fully utilized a feature on the Mac, and you would go into System Preferences and then go to Accessibility. And in that area, they have things like Zoom, so you can get a larger image zoomed in on the screen. You can take advantage of those types of things.
I have done that, and then it distorts everything else on the page.
Understood. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that you're using a Mac laptop or a desktop?
The desktop.
Do you and which Mac is it?
It's an iMac, and it's probably 5 years old.
Okay.
It has Intel. It's a 17-inch screen.
Maybe what you need more than anything else is a larger screen.
Right.
That way you get to see more real estate at the higher resolution. Yeah. And even if you do blow it up to a larger font size, it won't pixelate as bad.
I thought about that. So for me to get a larger screen, basically I'm buying a new Mac computer, correct?
With an iMac, you're right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You'd be going to a new Mac, and you can get some really good deals on a 24 or 27-inch iMac a couple of different ways. If you're still in college, of course, you can get an education discount on it. The other thing that I have done in the past is on Mac's website, you can buy them refurbished. Mm. So it's a Mac that was either returned because someone didn't want it or whatever, that sort of thing, or there was something wrong with the box or something like that. They reduced the price on it, but yet they still warranty it just like it's a brand new machine. So you can buy with confidence.
Good.
I've thought about that.
Cal, can you, I'm curious about this, with an iMac, can you gang it up or team it up with another external monitor?
If she had a newer iMac that had a video out on it, then she could plug in a dongle that would take it from DVI to VGA, and then she could hook an external monitor to it and be able to look at it. But her 5-year-old Mac that she has, I'm not sure it has that capability on it.
And that's one of the nice things about newer computers and laptops in general, is that most of them come with the HDMI output. And you can go to Best Buy or you can take the old one out of your living room, which is, it's only 32 inches and I'm never going to want to watch TV on that. And you can have a 32-inch monitor.
What you can do,
Apple Play.
Go go to the Internet Advisor website, go down to the Contact Us page on the bottom, and send me an email of the serial number of your Mac.
Sure.
And you can get that information by going to the Apple about this Mac, and it'll tell you the serial number.
I know where to get that.
Good. I can look that up and then look at the specs on it and tell you whether or not you can put an external monitor on it.
Okay, Jill?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Cal. I know you want me to stay with the Apple.
Yeah. And the other thing that we were going to mention is, and I think you were alluding to this, if you had AirPlay capability, that you could actually replicate your monitor from your laptop to your TV with the wireless keyboard, and you would be able to then use your 32-inch or 50-inch TV as if it was your Mac, right?
But you would have to have an Apple TV as an interface for it.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's only $99. I mean, only.
Yes. Cal has three of them. And he hasn't even unboxed them yet.
You're welcome,
Thank
Jill.
You
Take
guys.
Care of yourself, dear. All right. We'll be back in just a minute. And we'll be talking with Andy, Dan, and Bob. And perhaps you as well at 800-859-0957. Thank you very much. We are now in the groove here on the show. That is every Saturday from now until August, mid or late August. We are going to be following Dr. Dean, that's Dr. Dean Krauskopf, with the WJR Gardening Program from 3 to 4. And then from 4 until 6, we'll be here on a regular basis. And
woo-hoo!
This hour is your hour. And that is the 5 to 6 o'clock hour. We got the phone lines open and we got people calling in. And that's the way it ought to be.
That's
Thank
right.
Thank you very much. All right, let's head back out to the... Oh, one of the things I found kind of interesting is this is the 40th birthday of Apple. Is one of the reasons that Steve Jobs chose the name Apple was so that it would be ahead of his former employer, Atari, in the phone book. Oh, and the original logo, and I think I put this on our Facebook page, was a rather complicated one that was done by Ron Wayne, who was the third partner in the Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and Ron Wayne, initially the three people who began the company.
Are we speaking of the logo with Isaac Newton underneath
the tree?
Yes,
with Isaac Newton under the tree. It was a whole... And what happened was that Steve Jobs, and it's kind of interesting because it really talks about how the company went after that. Jobs thought it was too complex, and so they opted for a rainbow-colored apple with a bite. And that simplicity is kind of interesting. Which began in the logo there, really was what defined the way they looked at everything from then on.
I wish I could be able to ask him the question, why did he put the bite in it? Because that's the one that threw me off. I have no idea why that bite's in there.
Isn't it?
Well, I think it may have something more to do with the Beatles. And
oh, that's right.
Because they had the Apple Productions, and their logo was just an apple, a green apple.
But it was a green apple, yeah. But if you got a rainbow apple,
as opposed to a rainbow apple.
There's no copyright infringement.
Well, now we're talking Skittles. So don't.
Taste the rainbow.
All right, enough you two. Let's get back up and say hello to Timothy from... Hello, Timothy. How are you doing? And welcome to the program.
Hey, I'm doing real well. Thank you very much. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I love you guys. Listen, I've got an early 2008 MacBook Pro, which I use single purpose in my business. I use it to make recordings of my voice with some background music. That's all I ever do with it.
Oh, okay, cool.
And yet I'm running across these occasions when the computer will freeze and show me a message that says that the disk is too slow.
Yeah, it could be very possible that over time, a couple of things could be happening. Over time, the disk itself has errors in it that start to mount up over time, and it could be the fact that it's when it's trying to read it, it has to go back multiple times to read it, and so therefore it's not responding as fast as the program would like to process the sound. So you could have you could be in need of either a replacement hard drive. The first thing I would probably do first, though, before that, is probably go into utilities and run disk utility and see what sort of errors may or may not come up from that. And then if you're getting a lot of errors on that particular thing and have to do a lot of repair, you may want to consider replacing the hard drive. And chances are you have a 5400 speed hard drive in it. You may want to put a 7200 speed hard drive in there in its place.
Now, what type of hard drive would that be? Would that be a SATA or an IDE?
It'll be a SATA drive.
SATA drive,
oh, that's good. So those are cheap. And I'll probably be considering an upgrade at this point.
And I, Timothy, I put in a solid-state drive, an SSD.
You could do a 250-gig solid-state drive for about $120.
Oh, I think it might have been, even now I've seen them for less than that.
Yeah.
They're getting
really?
Ridiculously. Oh, they're getting ridiculous. And the change in performance will be incredible. What software are you using to do your recording and editing?
GarageBand. The only reason using the Mac, you know, full disclosure, I'm a PC guy. I've been a PC guy my entire life since the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it less intuitive to use the Mac than I do the PC just because of I'm old. But
he's honest.
I've always
been
told that Mac is the way to go when you're doing recordings.
Yes.
And so because I want to have a good quality recording, I just went with the Mac instead and used the GarageBand, which comes with it.
So he'll have to back up at some point. I mean, I'd actually encourage him to back it up. Or at least so he has the ability to reinstall the operating system on the other, right? So
he needs to have it backed up regardless of whether he's having problems or not.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But
I've taken all the recordings off and I've stored them on my PC, which has got a huge, I've got a 1 terabyte hard drive on my PC at home. So I just took all the recordings off and I saved them there. So there's nothing on the system that is essential with the exception of just the GarageBand, which I could put on the new hard drive pretty easy.
Yeah, if I was you, I would consider running a utility, having to check out the drive, see if it's okay, and then at the very worst, pull the drive and then reload it with the new drive in it. And you could even put the other drive, as Ed does so many times, into an enclosure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, buy a small USB enclosure, put that hard drive in it, and then that way you can copy your information back whenever you need to.
And Tim, go ahead.
That's not a DIY situation. That's nothing that I could do being that it's a laptop, is it?
Well, it depends on which laptop you have. Some of them, you actually can flip it over, take the battery out.
Mm-hmm.
If your battery is removable, then behind that battery is a little three screws that you can then remove and then pull the hard drive out.
Yep.
But if your battery is not removable, then you'll have to have someone professional.
The battery is removable. I was just going to upgrade the RAM from 4 to 8 megs.
That's another good addition.
I was told that might help.
Tim, one of the things that we have found, too, is that YouTube is a great place. Ed is a big fan of this, turned me onto it as well. YouTube is a great place to go to find the videos about how to do things.
Yeah, I just have a really hard time.
True? Yeah.
I have a hard time with the 12-year-olds telling me how to remove screws out of a laptop.
Know.
It's just so hard. Their voice is cracking. It's just stutter and stammer.
And you want to suggest Clearasil all the time.
Yeah. But back up your data before you...
A person could do that themselves because I was concerned about the labor getting to be so much that it would be cheaper another used Mac or something like that.
As long as you have the right tools... You take some time and be careful of all the electrical considerations and make sure you have your data backed up before you start.
Yep.
You should be able to do it.
Yep. And the YouTube will explain most of that.
I did it. I have a 2011 MacBook Pro and did it on that myself. And I've done both the increase in RAM. If I can do it, anybody can do it, right?
Okay.
I did have some screws.
Well, I'll look for that. A digital hard drive. That sounds like a way to go.
Great way. Solid-state hard drive is a great way to go. Tim, thanks so much for giving us a call. If you have any other questions or problems, please go to that comment section at the bottom of our program, notes@internetadvisor.net, and we'll get back to you as quick as we can. Dan from Dearborn, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have an Android smartphone that I've had for a couple years now.
Okay.
And beginning around December, at least once a day, I get a call from out of state.
Hmm.
Which one? The cruise or the credit card problem?
No. Originally, it was about 10 calls a day.
Oh, wow.
And from states that I have no dealings with, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started getting these, I reported them to the, I think it's a combined effort of the FCC and the Federal Trade Commission on do not call list violations.
Yep.
I never heard anything back from them. But I would not take these calls. I just reject them. But once in a while, it would pique my interest and I would, you know, try to take it. But there would be nobody on the other end of the line. Right now, I get about one a day.
That's because those are robocalls, and the machines are designed to sit there and wait till they hear someone say, hello, and it's like, welcome, you just won a cruise, that
no,
sort of
no,
thing.
No, I stay on for a while, and nobody ever says anything.
Yeah, but are you actually talking into it?
Yes, I'll say.
Oh,
yes.
Really?
Hello, yeah.
Oh, that's different. That's different. Now, you know, you were just talking about a workmate of ours, Dave, right? And basically, he has a utility that he downloaded from the Android or Google's Android store, which basically is SafeCaller. And there's a number of these utilities out there that are free, which are the, I'm only going to take calls from these people or this area code. And there are a number of utilities that do that. And although I don't recall the name of the utility that our coworker was using.
Right.
Do you recall, Kel?
No, he didn't tell me.
Yeah. So we always tease him because he's always does stuff like that. This time, actually, it burned him because he missed a very important phone call, and we're gonna chastise him about it Monday morning. But there are utilities that actually do that. But you've done the right thing, and that is to contact the if you're on the do not call list, especially for mobile phones, which in some cases people are charged for every phone call they receive if they answer it. A lot of people still pay for minutes, and that's why you have this do not call list.
Well, yeah, that's what really frightened me at first, because I thought, geez, at a rate of 10 a day coming in, when I'm paying, well, originally I was paying by the minute. I use Virgin Mobile.
Yes.
And that you know, my quota is going to disappear well before I take a legitimate phone call.
And you've done what I do, and I just say, I don't answer, and it goes right to voicemail. If they don't leave a voicemail, I know it was junk.
Yeah.
But they do have utilities in the Android store. Unfortunately, I do not know. I can't recommend any right now. I don't use one personally. But they're based on safe callers, like family mm-hmm. and friends, mm-hmm. you know, and then also area code.
I have to say this, Dan. I have, my wife in particular, has been getting these things on a regular basis. Now, she has a Windows phone, so I don't think it's the nature of the phone itself, but that somehow they're breaking through do not call lists.
Well, I received them. I just signed up for a new credit card. And of course, if you have to, within 48 hours of signing up for the credit card, have to basically go on, log into the website and disclaim that I do not want that information to be turned over to the partners.
Oh.
I did that, but some of the information, it says, regardless if you fill out this information, it's going to, we're going to turn some of the information over. Mm-hmm. So,
Dan, thanks for the call. You've raised a very important issue. I hope we've helped some folks out with the answer as well. Thanks so much for calling us. Hey, Bob and Andy, we'll be back with you in just a moment and maybe even sneak in your call at 800-859-0957. Welcome back. The Internet Advisor on the air for you. And just to remind you that on a regular basis, we're going to be here from 4 until 6 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturdays, part of the great lineup of experts here. And we're delighted to be following Dr. Dean Krauskopf. Thank you very much, Dr. Dean, for coming back. And even though we've had snow out there, for officially heralding spring.
It is so good to be regular.
It is.
You know, when people
the older
when,
I get,
when people
the
can
more tour when, that is.
When people can turn their radio on and know they're going to see us there,
there
that's regular.
And even though it's a radio, they'll see us there. All right. Let's go to Steve, apparently, from Detroit, has some information on the Apple logo. Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
So I read this. It was in a book called Dreamers and Deceivers. And it was about the little snippets, but Alan Turing was one of the guys that mentioned. And after he saved England,
yes,
and possibly the world,
absolutely,
he was a homosexual and he was persecuted, yeah, by the same country that he saved.
Yep.
And supposedly he was infatuated with the story of Snow White, and I think that's the one, Snow White. And he bit an apple that was poisoned. He killed himself.
I knew he took his own life, yes.
And that was where, this is how the book said it, that where Steve Jobs got the bitten apple.
I'll be now, if you've seen the movie.
Whether that's true or not,
yeah,
I thought it was a great story.
Well, Steve, what you're talking about is, if you've seen the movie The Imitation Game, that is about Turing's life and breaking the code, the Nazi code, and the fact that he was a homosexual, and that in Great Britain, that was a crime at that time, and they put him through some horrible things, and he eventually did
that in North Carolina, too, now, so.
Yeah. He eventually took his life. He eventually took his life, and I didn't know how he did that, but it just says he took his life.
And that's so, like Aristotle who said, I drank what?
Oh, dear.
Exactly. So I read this, and it sounds like a great story, whether it's true, but...
It's a great story.
Kind of sense, I guess.
So. Whether it's true or not, it's a great story, Steve. Thanks a lot for it. Okay, let's go back out to Bob from West Bloomfield. Hi, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
I just ordered a brand new laptop because my other one died, and I guess it's not repairable. Anyhow, before I start using it, it's going to arrive on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
It's a Windows 10 laptop, and should I do a complete backup on it before I ever use it?
Well, I mean, one of the things you could do is it allows you to, you know, back it up.
Create the rescue disk.
Yeah, you can just create the rescue disk that that usually it does when you first power it up.
Yeah, it's in the control panel. I have another one.
Yeah, under backup, yeah, or history.
Yeah, backup and restore, and then it says in parentheses Windows 7.
On the current computer that you have?
No, I just bought another, what do you call it, a small Palm, or a tablet.
Oh, okay.
And on the tablet, that's a Windows 10 also. And I, you know, it has Cortina, and I asked Cortina about backup, and it took me right to the control panel.
Uh-huh.
And in the control panel, one of the icons says backup and restore,
yeah.
And then in parentheses it says Windows 7.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, here's the bottom line on this thing. I have never, ever, 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 times 10, forever, had a backup hurt me. So it won't hurt if you do a backup when you initially get the machine. The biggest reason why we do backup is to be able to recover from something we may lose. Now, when you get the initial machine, a lot of times they have what they call a recovery partition in them.
Yeah, right.
So that's already on there where that you can't harm unless your hard drive itself dies. Mm. So, and technically speaking, you don't really have to back up the machine as soon as you get it because you haven't created anything on it that you want to keep anyway. And there's nothing on there that you can't recover from in the first place. But you should start doing a backup almost immediately after you start creating stuff or downloading things that you want to keep mm-hmm. in the computer.
You know, Cal brings up a good point. I usually don't do the manufacturer's backup or mm-hmm. or do my first Windows 7 or 10 image of it until about a week after I get the computer because I've already done the customizations. I've uninstalled all the stuff
that's
that came
true.
Off
that's
it.
True.
I've arranged the desktop. I've created the user accounts. I usually wait a week and then I make that, okay, this mm-hmm. is the gold image. And then I'm gonna and then I put it to an external drive and then I label it as such.
Could be on a thumb drive. Could be on a DVD.
Yep.
And
it depends if I have my data on there or not.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
But that's
right.
You bring up a good question.
Yep.
And that's what I would do. I would wait a week. You know,
I would agree.
Because
would agree.
You're still under the manufacturer's warranty, and you can always send it back
yeah.
or
within that first week.
The other thing you could do, too, is that you can just go in and subscribe to a cloud backup service like Gary would do and just, you know, have
yeah.
that starting as soon as you, right after you set up your mm-hmm. computer, and there your backups are being done automatically.
Yeah, and that's for the data. It doesn't
yeah.
back up, you know, the system.
Well,
rest of the system.
I think CrashPlan does.
CrashPlan that I use, they back up the entire hard drive.
Yeah.
So you can just...
Now, you don't have to because you already have that image to restore
right.
with.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, you don't really need to
what
do
you used
that.
To call belts and suspenders, I think, Gary.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, it helps.
Okay,
I
Bob.
I appreciate the help. If I email you, do you guys answer back on an email?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay, I have another question on my other laptop that died.
We would love to be able to help you, and during the week, Ed and Cal and Shane and Gary and myself, we all pitch in as well, okay?
All right, very good. Thanks for your help.
Thank you very much for giving us a call. Let's see if we can get one in for Andy out there. Andy, welcome to the Internet Advisor. We got just a little bit of time for you.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. You probably have gone over this issue. I think I got the tail end of it last week, but I didn't hear what your answer was. I keep getting these pesky Windows pop up. I got Windows 7.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to go to Windows 10, and I don't want to go to Windows 10. I'm afraid I'm going to fat finger it one of these days, and then I'll be, you know, whenever I do that, I'm always in trouble. So I want to kind of, prevent that from happening. Is there any way that I can suppress that?
Suppress it, yes. And I forgot the knowledge base article, but you can go in and you basically uninstall a Microsoft update, a KB. Right. And I don't recall the number, but I'm sure if you Googled it or went to YouTube and said, how do I... how do I get rid of the Windows 10 upgrade notification?
The NAG.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, someone will provide a video on that.
Now, the other thing I think last week we ran into was to go into Control Panel and under Updates say that I don't want any automatic updates. I want the manual.
Which will work, but you won't get any other updates either.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you need security updates, you're not going to get them.
Yeah, you have to remove the specific Microsoft update that they pushed last August. Of 2015, and then it'll stop the notifications.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much, guys.
Yeah, great question. Thank you very much. Sorry we didn't have more time to go into that, and we'll talk with Donna off the phone here. But for the rest of you out there, if during the week you want to get in touch with us, you simply go to internetadvisor.net, and you can hit the contact button or go to the comment box, which is at the bottom of our webpage, and I'll be filling in all the rest of the show notes from the program and things like that, including some information about the 40th birthday party for Apple. Gary and Ed and Kel, thank you so much. And Eric and Logan, thank you for helping us behind the glass. And for the rest of you out there, thank you so much for making a great weekend for us here. Join us next week.